Study the Bible together. Church, Ephesians chapter 4 is where I want to ask you to turn to. I know that that is outside the daily Bible reading plan that we're using, but today's a unique day, as Philip mentioned at the beginning of our worship gathering. We've got some important family business to deal with here in just a few minutes. If you're a guest, we're so glad that you're here. We do want you to know that the service from this, our worship time from this point on, will look a little bit different than it normally does because of that family business as we come together to hear a recommendation from our leaders about a new senior pastor. So I want to kind of set the stage for that in Ephesians chapter 4. So look at your Bible at that passage of Scripture. I think this is a good place for us to be leading up to this. This important time, and I'm going to show you why in just a moment. Let me read this passage over you, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Here's what the Apostle Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So Paul quotes from Psalm 68:18, or he cites this passage in verse 8. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In just a few moments, we're gonna begin the last stage of a journey that is one of the most important times in the life of any local church, and that is the calling of a new senior elder, a new senior pastor. And that's a time that we desperately need God to speak into our journey. We're going to hear a recommendation from our elders in conjunction with our senior pastor search team. And then over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have the opportunity to prayerfully consider that recommendation. And then we're going to come back in here in a couple of weeks and we're going to cast our votes and we're going to make our decision. And so I want to show you why I think it's helpful for us to hear God's voice from this particular passage of Scripture when we're coming to this stage of this journey. I mean, there's a lot going on in this passage of Scripture that we could talk about in relation to the health of a local church. I mean, the passage of Scripture mentions our calling, it mentions our conduct, it mentions our unity, it mentions our doctrine, it mentions the grace gifts that our Lord gives us, so it mentions our service, and it mentions our spiritual growth, our development as we move. All of those things are in here. But I don't know if you noticed it or not, but all of that whole process, all of those things coming together hinge on something that this text says Jesus provides for the church. and that's gifted leaders. And that's what you see in verse 11 in this passage of Scripture with this list of four office gifts. You see it there. He gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, he gave the evangelists, and then these last two in the language of the New Testament indicate one title, pastor teachers. But not only that, he tells us what these guys are supposed to do. Look at verse 12. He gave them to the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And this whole process, all these 16 verses, really hinge on the catalyst that is mentioned there in verses 11 and 12. And so what I want to do is I want to look at these 16 verses, and we're going to do it in really rapid fire fashion this morning. I want to pose five questions to you. Five questions that I think that God would want us to be asking as we process, as we hear, and as we process this recommendation over the next couple of weeks, so that we're thinking rightly and we're praying rightly, and that we ensure that our expectations and our anticipation lines up with what God desires for us, okay? So five questions. Here's the first one. Can this brother help us to fulfill our calling? Can he help us to fulfill our calling? We're going to hear a name in just a moment. We're going to hear the recommendation. Here's a question that we need to be asking. You see, this is really the big idea in this passage of Scripture, and that is our calling as a faith family, as a body, as a local expression of the body of Christ. So let me ask you, do you know what that calling is? Now be careful, because if you answer this morning that our calling is to get the gospel to the nations, guess what? You would be wrong, at least as far as this passage of Scripture is concerned. You know what this passage says our calling is? Our calling is to be shaped into the image of Jesus Christ, to be made to look like Him. That's what's going on here. Paul introduces the idea at the end of verse 3 in this expression, the unity of the Spirit. And then he unpacks that as he moves on through this paragraph here. You see it at the end of verse 12 down there, for the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then on down in the beginning of verse 15, or about the middle, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. What's going on here? Paul challenges us to conduct ourselves at the beginning of this paragraph in such a way that is consistent with our calling, and then he tells us what that calling is to grow together. And so you know what? These references, like the unity of the Spirit at the end of verse 3, do you see it? And then down in verse 13, the unity of the faith. Those are not talking about us agreeing about every part of this deal. Be real easy this morning to come in here and preach a message on unity. Oh, we need to think alike. We need to, you know, we need to decide alike. We all need to. This is not talking about us agreeing on everything. And you know what? Anytime a local church comes to this place right here, it is highly unlikely that all of us are going to agree on every aspect of this candidate being presented to us. What he looks like, how his sermons are developed, maybe even what his, some of the aspects of his philosophy of, you know, of ministry, his background or credentials. That's not what this passage is. This passage is about us being shaped into the unified body of Christ so that we look more like Jesus. So Brooke Hills, the question on the table this morning, the question over the next 2 weeks is not, Is this guy my favorite choice? The question is not, is this my first pick for our next pastor? The question is, can this brother lead us to be the unified body of Christ so that we look more like Jesus along the way? Question number two, does he preach the truth of God's word? Well, duh. I mean, that should be a given, right, for this congregation, and I know it is. And in fact, I'm thinking, and go out on a limb here, I'm thinking if our elders and our senior pastor search team brought us a recommendation of a guy who wasn't passionately committed to faithfully preach God's word, we'd line him up and shoot him, wouldn't we? I mean, we're not going to stand for that. We talk so much about that. We know we demand that in our next senior pastor. But listen to me. It's one thing to demand that our next senior pastor faithfully preaches the truth of God's word. It's another thing to understand why that has to be a non-negotiable. You know why that's got to be a non-negotiable? Because the truth of God's word is the very agent that God has ordained to accomplish number one that we just talked about. Do you know that? The truth of God, this is not just about us having all of our doctrine systematized and us being in this camp and saying, we believe these things here. There is a supernatural component to this, and that is an understanding that the truth of God's word is actually the agent that the Holy Spirit uses to bring about transformation into Christ-likeness in our life. This is the only way we're going to get there. This supernaturally does that. And that's why the Apostle Paul tells us here, this truth is not relative. Get this, church. Regardless of what society says, there are not many things out there that can help us to look more like Jesus. This is why in verse 4, Paul says there is one body and there is one spirit. He says there is one hope, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, verse 6, one God. Because it is the truth about those things, the truth about this triune God, the supernatural truth that God has ordained to be the primary agent to create us, recreate us into the image of Jesus Christ. That's why it's a non-negotiable. And what that does is, if you look down there in verse 14, it says it prevents us from something else. You see it? So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Instead of that, we can grow to look like Jesus. That's what's going on here. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. And so we have to ask this question, does this brother preach the truth of God's word? Because listen, the question doesn't need to be, do I like his sermons? It doesn't even need to be, does he believe the Bible? That ought to be a given coming to this point right here. But the question on the table is, will he preach to us the truth? Will he teach it to us? Will he tell us the truth as it comes from the mouth of God? Question number 3, will he nurture Christ's grace in us? You know what one of the easiest things to do at this stage of the game is to be asking the question, what can this new pastor do for me? Even for us as a body, right? What can we get out of this guy, right? Well, let me tell you something. According to this passage right here, that's not the issue. The bigger issue is, what can he get out of us? Because you see, this text of Scripture says that as we grow into the image of Christ under the agency of God's word, Christ has and is doing something that's noted in verse 7. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about those spiritual gifts that we're familiar with. And so the Apostle Paul uses Psalm 68:18. You see it there in verse 8, and then he expounds on it in verses 9 and 10 to help us understand the work of our ascended Lord. He descended to the earth and he came in human flesh and he lived a life we couldn't live, and he died a death we should have died. And he was raised from the dead, and then he ascended back to heaven. And as John 14, 15, and 16 tell us, he poured out the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, every one of you that name the name of Christ, he put grace deposits into your life that we call spiritual gifts. We know of as spiritual gifts, in order that you might become then an agent, a part of helping the body of Christ to look more like Jesus. That's how this thing works. Let me kind of back up and say it again another way. So here's the deal. Here's what happens. These gifted leaders, they speak God's supernatural truth into our lives. And when they speak God's supernatural truth into our lives, it ignites the grace of Christ that he has given to us. And it spurs us then to be doing something. And that something is mentioned down there in verse 15. Do you see it? Speaking the truth in love. The language of the New Testament, that's a participle that indicates not only verbalizing truth, but living it out. Truthing is the way some scholars have translated a life that is just constantly truthing. It is speaking the truth and it is living out the truth. And listen, when we speak the truth and we live out the truth, guess what happens? Verse 16 happens. You see it? From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Translated, it helps the body look more like Jesus. Gifted leaders speak God's supernatural truth into our lives, and that ignites God's grace in us so that we live lives of service where we're speaking and we're acting out God's truth. And when we truth in our lives, we speak truth and we live out truth, that's what happens. Each and every one of us then becomes a part of helping the body to look more like Jesus. And so you know what? The next 2 weeks, the question on the table is not, what can this new pastor do for us? The question on the table is, will this brother recognize God's grace in our lives and lead us under God's word in such a way that we live out lives of truth so that we help the body, one another, together, as a whole, look more like Jesus? Question number four, is he called to be a pastor teacher? Is he called to be a pastor teacher? I want to spend maybe just a little bit more time. I know I'm talking fast so that we can lay this foundation and then come to the recommendation. I want to spend just a little bit more time here because I told you at the beginning that this is what this whole process hinges on. And that is these gifted leaders that are listed, these four office gifts that are listed in verse 11. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers. All right? Now, up to this point in the book of Ephesians, just a little, you know, background context lesson here, Paul has helped us to understand that the first two that are mentioned here, apostles and prophets, actually were foundational gifts to help the church get established. If you just glance back to Ephesians chapter 2, he's talking about the formation of the church, the body. And in verse 20 of Ephesians 2, he says, it's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And so these were the guys that helped the church lay the foundation, help get started. Apostles were those messengers, those ones sent that helped root the church in its devotion to God's mission. Prophets, on the other hand, were those men who helped to ground the church in its dependency upon God's revelation. And so they together came together to really lay the foundation that we might summarize as the gospel. In fact, if you look at chapter 3, Paul's talking about this gospel. And in verse 5 of chapter 3, he says, this gospel wasn't made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And so when Paul was writing this letter, all four of these office gifts were still operative. But it seems as the New Testament unfolds that the roles of evangelist and pastor teacher then become the ongoing extensions of the apostles and prophets. So evangelists become the ongoing extensions of apostles, and pastor teachers become the ongoing extensions of the prophets. And so it's important for us to think together about those two offices. So we start with the evangelist. Now even before I explain this to you, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice there in chapter 4 that both of these offices, including evangelists, were given to the church for the benefit of the church. You remember verse 12? To equip the saints. They've just been listed. So evangelists, pastor, teachers have just been listed now. And he says they're given to help equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, I tell you that because I want to tell you what an evangelist is not. Evangelist is not a guy that just travels around and preaches revival meetings. That is a Western twist on the biblical teaching here. Doesn't mean they don't do that. Certainly, these guys are especially gifted in sharing the gospel to the point that when they share the gospel, more people seem to get saved than when most of us share the gospel. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to do it. We are supposed to do it. But there's a special giftedness from God in this office for that purpose. But remember, their primary role is not just to be out there preaching to lost people and sharing the gospel. Their primary role is in here. And this is what's missed in America so often. The primary role is for them to inspire and motivate and equip us to share the gospel. And that's why when these guys talk, we're more compelled to want to share the gospel with our neighbors. When one of these guys gets up and preaches, well, we want to go home and sell everything we've got and move overseas. God's blessed them and he's gifted them. And listen, he has blessed us by giving us individuals in this office to be able to do that. Pastor teachers, likewise, are men who shepherd God's flock under the instruction of God's word. You have the two labels there, the two titles. The term pastor literally means shepherd in the language of the New Testament. And it speaks of a tenderness. It speaks of a loving kindness. It speaks of care. It would speak to us about a familiar voice and a nurturing touch and maybe a firm instruction at just the right time. And that term pastor or shepherd also speaks of protection and strength for the flock. And then the term teacher tells us how this happens, what the primary means of this shepherding is, and that is through the instruction of God's word. And consequently, when pastor teachers get up and talk, we're all helped in the Christian life. We're spurred on. We're spurred on to want to love one another more and do life together. We're encouraged in spiritual growth. Now, both of these office gifts, evangelists, pastor, teachers, these guys operate best when they are operating within their particular office group, but we need an office gift, but we need to understand something. Sometimes one of these guys is called upon to do both. This is why Timothy, in Paul's second letter to Timothy, who was obviously a pastor teacher, was told by Paul, do the work of an evangelist. Lean outside of your giftedness, your office here, to lead the church in this. I think this is why Philip, who in the book of Acts is explicitly called an evangelist, was called upon to provide shepherding and care to the New Testament church in Acts chapter 6. Sometimes these guys have to lean outside of that. Now, I want to bring this home to our journey at Brook Hills for a moment. And so I want you to listen very carefully because I want to show you this connection and I want to give you a pastoral opinion, okay? I probably know David Platt as well or better than anybody in this room, maybe unless some of his family members are here. Know him longer than most of you. My experience tells me that David Platt is the quintessential biblical evangelist by office gift. That's why this church looks like it does. That's why you and I love global missions, and it's why we bring everything back to that. Because God has blessed us in 8 years to be led, to be shepherded, if you will, by someone who had that giftedness. He had that, has that calling. And by the way, it's why he's doing what he's doing now. It's why he's leading the largest missionary organization in the world, because he had to ultimately live out that calling in a way where he could give his time and attention and devotion to that. And we've celebrated that. But I'll tell you, in 8 years too, David Platt leaned outside of his office gift and he did the work of a pastor teacher and he did it well. And we're a better church for it in God's grace in his life. And we celebrate that and we rejoice in that. David and I were having this conversation again this week, and we both agreed that it seems in light of that, in light of who he is and who he's been, who he has been at Brook Hills, that in this pastoral transition, probably the wisest thing for us to do is to call a pastor teacher. Now you understand, that doesn't mean leaving where we've been behind. God gave us an evangelist to root us, to ground us in a passion for global missions and for getting the gospel to the nations. And he leaned outside of his calling to do the work of a pastor teacher. We're not talking about leaving that behind. But probably the wisest thing for us to do would be to flip that and call a pastor teacher who will work hard at doing the work of an evangelist, and come alongside other evangelists in our congregation to lead us to do the same thing we've been doing, but to shore that up with the other aspects that maybe someone who is called and gifted to be specifically a pastor teacher only can do. And so listen to me, Brook Hills. The question on the table cannot be, is this guy the next David Platt? I don't know if you've been asked that question. I've been asked that question. Not by people in our congregation, but people out there. I've had people ask me, how are y'all going to find another David Platt? Listen, we don't need another David Platt. We have been shepherded well by an evangelist who's worked hard to be a pastor teacher. We need a pastor teacher who will now work hard at being an evangelist. And so the question on the table is not, can this guy be another David Platt? The question on the table is he called to be a pastor teacher who, as he shepherds us to maturity, will work hard at doing the work of an evangelist as well? Question number 5, is he Christ's provision for our church? Is he Christ's provision for our church? You know what some of the most comforting, encouraging words in this whole paragraph are? Two words in verse 11. He gave. He gave. Listen, Brook Hills. This is Christ's church, and he will provide for it. He ordained these office gifts, and I take that to mean that he will provide men to fill these functions and these roles in every local church. That's why, to some degree, the term search team is a little bit, it's a little bit misleading if we're not careful. Because it almost implies that Jesus doesn't do this. He hasn't provided this. He doesn't provide it. And so we got to go out there and figure out who the best candidate is and call that person, convince him to come to our congregation. And so it's easy to look at this senior pastor search team as if they were a group of ecclesiastical headhunters looking for some kind of religious CEO. That wasn't their job. You know what their job was? Their job was to help us to discover how Jesus is providing for the church at Brook Hills. And you know what our job over the next 2 weeks is? It's to verify that. It's to verify the unique and supernatural way that Jesus is providing for us in our next senior pastoral leadership. And so the question here is not, is this guy the best candidate on the planet? How could we know that? Impossible, right? It's not the question. The question is this guy God's faithful provision for us at Brook Hills in giving us new senior pastoral leadership? And so with that confident assurance, I want us to turn our attention to the recommendation that our elders, in conjunction with our senior pastor search team, are bringing to us today. Let's turn our attention to the video.
So after much prayer and consideration, the senior pastor search team at the church at Brook Hills is excited to recommend to you our brother Matt Mason as our candidate for senior pastor.
My initial reaction to being approached by the senior pastor search team was a combination of, I'd say, gravity and joy. and I think probably in that order, because this is a new role and there's gravity associated with this role. So I've been very sobered by it. And on the other hand, it was a sheer delight to be informed that I was being invited into this process. Because one, I believe this is God's next assignment for me, that this is going to be the role that He calls me to next in terms of fulfilling my role as a minister. And there is no church that I would rather shepherd than this church.
Rather than start with a profile or a checklist, we really wanted to form a lens through which to look at our candidates. And so we began by talking with elders, small group leaders, church staff, and asking them three questions.
What are we good at? What has God blessed us in? What are we fruitful in? And we need to press in even further on these things. What are areas that we have room for growth?
And the third question was, in addition to the qualifications laid out in Scripture, what do you all think that we need to look for in a senior pastor?
Three things that come to my mind: preaching of the Word, focus on missions, and a shepherd focused on community of the church.
And so the lens showed us essentially that we are a people of the Word, we love the Word, and we strive to be obedient to the Word.
The Word has changed my life. The congregation needs to see that the senior pastor doesn't lead the church by force of personality. He leads the church by holding up the Word, by celebrating the Word, and by himself living under the authority of the Word. Because the church grows by hearing the Word, and the church dies by becoming deaf to God's Word. And the moment we begin to apologize for what the Word says, we're giving up the power dynamic, the power center of the life of God's church over the course of history.
God has grown me. He has challenged me. He has stretched me as Matt has brought the Word to us here at Brook Hills. And as I've listened to him, I have seen and heard the heart of a pastor in him.
There hasn't been a Sunday when I've been sitting in Brook Hills and Matt Mason has been preaching where I've thought, oh, I wish I was preaching right now, because the Word is being proclaimed so clearly. I've texted him coming out of messages just saying, thank you for shepherding my heart well. And it's been pure joy watching the body be shepherded.
The other things that made up the lens were just strong desire to continue on in global missions and local missions.
One of the things that I would say has been most formative for us in moving to join the Church of Brook Hills, in being both a part of the staff as well as a member of this church, has been the emphasis on mission and the value of mission. Matthew 28's kernel idea is all over the Bible, from Genesis 3 all the way to the end. And we've seen that in so many ways over these past few years. That's an evidence of God's grace that is so strong in this church. And I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, because the Word isn't going anywhere, and the Word continues to emphasize this, and the Spirit loves to use the Word to ignite these things in the hearts of God's people, so that hopefully over time, the more we look into God's Word, the more we'll go on, the more we'll be strengthened in this commitment to reach the nations for God's glory.
I've seen Matt go to the nations, roll up his sleeves, and serve in ways and capacities that nobody was watching, that nobody saw. I've seen him go and care for our missionaries in the field. I've seen him go and teach missionaries in the field, lead worship for missionaries in the field. And it's been incredible to see him care for, serve, and work alongside our goal to see disciples made among all nations.
The third thing was community. And we felt like that's where we were weakest. And that's what we heard from the interviews, is that, you know, we want to be stronger in community here at the church.
I think biblical community is a challenge in a church this size. That's just a reality. And so I think in a room our size, if the only thing that we're doing are Sunday gatherings, it's very easy for people to come, sit down in a seat, face forward, listen to some things, sing some songs, and head out, and not have any sense in which they are knowing or being known by others. I have a deep desire to see biblical community expressed among us.
Like, even when Matt came just to guest lead worship, like, I noticed the shepherding side of him even then. And so just through the three years that he's been our worship pastor, it's just been refreshing to have that shepherding presence in the worship team.
So with all that, we ended up with over 70 candidates that were recommended to us or whose names submitted.
We didn't want to just default and say, he's the guy.
Honestly, at the beginning, we didn't know his heart. For all I knew, at our first approach, he was going to say, oh, thank you, brothers, I'm flattered, but I don't believe the Lord's calling me in that way.
I would say that the musical specific calling was something that was a conviction in my heart for about 10 years, from 1993 till around 2003. And I'd say around 2003, there began to be this other piece that started to form. And it was connected to ongoing opportunities to walk with God's people, counsel, shepherd. And so I'd say from 2003 up until this point, there's been this crescendo of desire, this escalating sense of, I think eventually I'm going to give myself entirely to the pastoral side, the preaching, the shepherding side.
Now, honestly, Matt has been a worship leader who does not have music in his iPod. He's got sermons and he's got Greek studies and I've always been anticipating the day that he would say, I'm going to put the music down and master in the pulpit.
Anytime you have a ministry that has clear and distinct identity, and I think any organization that's running in a healthy way, that's fulfilling its vision, mission, and goal, and is seeking to maintain their direction in that sense, is wise to consider whether or not an internal candidate would be the one that could come up and continue to fulfill that vision and call the body to fulfill that vision.
I think we see biblically the value of raising up leaders from within. I think simply and reproducibly just the DNA that God has by His grace entrusted to the Church of Brook Hills, and to see a pastor who has that DNA in the church, leading in the days to come, is really, really encouraging. Who has the heart for the nations and mission, who has confidence in the Word.
I know the chemistry of our team, and I'm aware of the unity that we have as a leadership team, so I'm not suspicious that there might be these fracturing elements and divisive things going on. So some of the things that would be primary questions for an external candidate to ask on his way in are ones that my heart has already settled.
There were many that did not have senior pastor experience that we were considering. And then you look at the role of worship and the leadership involved in that, and what Matt was doing already, and then the processes he has in place, and then getting to know him better, the Lord began wedding us together from that original conversation to where the team became overwhelmingly convinced he was our choice.
I believe leadership should be a combination of joy and humility and gravity and communion with God. I think those things are just part and parcel of what it means to lead a church. And so I think a pastor should have the capacity both for gravity and gladness, to borrow some phrases from John Piper. Both of those need to be present in ministry. I think he should celebrate the Word over the people, rejoice in God's Word over the people. I think that has an impact. There's a kind of holy contagion that's meant to happen when the Word is open in front of God's people.
Personally had some questions at the beginning about his lack of experience as a senior pastor specifically, and about his path of education.
It's been my encouragement through the years to challenge individuals to get all of the formal training they can, as long as it's available to them, it is accessible to them, and it's affordable to them. You know, as I've talked to Matt along the way, one of the things that I came to understand and hear him articulate is that, in his life, some of those things were prohibitive, to him because of various circumstances.
I place a high value on theological formation and academic training. Might not look that way since I lack a master's degree and I lack a PhD, up to this point. I would love to get that, and I'm actually working toward it right now. But in the absence of having the formal degree, which proves the study, I've just sought to work really hard.
When I look at the gifts and the education and the experience and the grace that God's given the Church of Brook Hills, I have said with full confidence, even when I was serving there, that Matt Mason, by God's grace, is the sharpest theologian. Some people might see him almost as just, well, he's the worship pastor, he leads music, but that's something we knew from the very beginning of talking with Matt, was that he was rich and deep theologically and biblically, and that drives how he has understood worship and drives how he understands the church.
He is such a great, he has a love for learning, and he's self-taught. He could probably teach himself anything he wanted to learn, and fortunately for us, his interests are God and God's Word and the body of believers.
You know, these people that we love, and I know the people that he was growing to love, growing in care for, it was just very exciting to think he could may possibly lead them and teach them about the Lord and teach them the Bible, you know, which he is so hungry to do and so much wanting to do.
When you look at the fruit of the Spirit as displayed in Matt's life, this is how you know wisdom comes from above. It's seen in fruit of the Spirit lived out in somebody's life. And that is what we see very clearly in Matt's life. And that's the kind of leadership, that's the kind of wisdom that I want to follow. And I want us to follow as a church.
I mean, this process has been, it has been joyful. And the reason it's joyful is because of my love for you as a church. And I hope you've sensed pastoral affection toward you. It's very much in my heart. Not only mine, my family loves this congregation. We love you as a family. It would be a sheer honor to lead this church. We trust God and we trust you in this process. Love you.
Well, good morning. My name is Keith Anderson, and I have the privilege of serving as the chairman of the Elder Council here. So on behalf of your Elder Council and the members of the Senior Pastor Search Team, and in accordance with our bylaws, we recommend to you that Matt Mason become the next senior pastor at the Church of Brook Hills. Thank you. And as has been mentioned previously, there will be a vote of affirmation taken here in a couple weeks on June 28th. That's on the front page of your worship guide, and you're going to hear some more details about that here in just a few minutes. And let me just say to you that your elders have put an enormous amount of prayer and time and thought into this recommendation, and it's something we're very excited about. And we thought it would be helpful for you to hear from some of the folks that were involved in this process. So for that, I'll turn it over to Jim.
Thank you, Keith. You've heard from some of those folks on the video, and we did think that it would be good just to have some time for some of the others to be able to share with you just a little bit about their journey. I'm joined tonight up here by a group that is comprised of, there's four elders up here, there are four members of the pastoral search team, there's one pastoral staff member, not including myself, and so I'm just going to throw out some questions to them and let them just share with you a little bit about their heart. First of all, to you as a group, let me just say to you on behalf of the congregation of Brook Hills, thank you. Thank you to you for those that you represent that we heard on the video. These guys standing, we appreciate your leadership and God's grace in your lives and bringing us to this particular point. I want to tell you who we have tonight. Jim Merriweather across the way over there served on the pastoral, the search team, senior pastor search team. He also serves as an elder, leads one of our small groups, has been around Brook Hills a long time. This is Grace Stokes. She's one of our young singles. She serves on the senior pastor search team as well, also leads a small group. Grace at one time was actually sent out as a midtermer from Brook Hills here as well. J.D. Payne is the sole member up here, besides myself, the two of us, that was not on the senior pastor search team. J.D. is an elder, and he also serves on our pastoral staff team as our pastor of church multiplication. Heard from Scott James on the video already. Scott is the chairman of the senior pastor search team, serves as an elder, leads one of our small groups. So grateful for his leadership in this whole process. And then to my immediate left is Rob Grubb, also one of our elders, also a member of the senior pastor search team, and also a small group leader here at Brook Hills. Thank you all so much for taking the time to be able to do this. Scott, we'll just start with you. We've had an opportunity to hear from you, and we've had an opportunity to hear a little bit about the process, but not in detail. And maybe it would be helpful if maybe you just told us a little bit more about the journey on how the senior pastor search team came to this place.
Sure. Well, from the very beginning, we wanted to make sure that we were rooted in the Word and in prayer. We knew coming into this process that there are a lot of opportunities for personal preferences and style preferences to come into play. And so we wanted to make sure that before we even entered into the process, that we had some spiritual formation together as a team, rooted in the Word and looking for what the Word would call us to be looking for, similar to how Jim said in his sermon today. So we, from that point, embarked into the process of receiving feedback from you, the faith family, really wanting to know who we identified with, who we thought we were as a church, what was our identity, our mission, our goal, what were strengths that we were thankful to God for giving us grace in, and some things that we think that we needed to become more faithful in as well. And so that process involved a lot of interviews with elders, staff, small group leaders, members. And throughout that entire process, the encouraging thing that really came back to us was that, again, although we all admit that we all have our own personal preferences, the mandate that we got from the faith family was to make the primary things primary. And so the message that we heard loud and clear from you all was to look for a humble, Christ-like servant and shepherd who it lives and breathes the Word and is passionate about leading us to love one another and to glorify God by making disciples of all nations. And that was the bedrock foundation that we really felt the church said back to us. This is our expectation. That was incredibly freeing for us to be able to enter into the process with that biblical basis for what we would consider to be a candidate. And so with that, it was freeing for us to be able to enter into the process with that lens that views the biblical non-negotiables as well as takes into account who we are as a church and what we're called to be, and use that as the lens through which we evaluated our candidates. So with that, we received many excellent recommendations from you all, friends and partners in ministry, many like-minded ministry partners that Brook Hills has worked with over the years that know us and love us and know what we're about. We received some excellent nominations from them. And so as we went through the process, we spent many weeks, several months, sorting through, really investigating those names as they came in, kind of investigating this concept of the lens that we were looking through and whether or not they would be a fit here at Brook Hills. And that process was incredibly encouraging from a kingdom standpoint. So to be able to dive into these lives of these men that are out there serving faithfully, flourishing in ministry, leading churches that are thriving and are reaching people here and across the nations, it was just actually a cause of celebration on our search team to see so many faithful brothers out there serving and to see that God was blessing the kingdom work that the church has been doing. And so that was a joyful time to be kind of vetting through that candidate list. In the midst of all of that, though, there was this kind of small question that began to arise in our minds from very early on, but kind of growing through the entire process. And we really felt that it was the voice of the Lord asking us, have you considered my servant Matt? And for Matt's sake and for the sake of Matt's family and our faith family, we really hope that that question doesn't carry the same connotation as it did for Job, but it helped us turn our attention and focus in and say, what are we missing? Are we overlooking a faithful brother here? Are we spending all of our energies looking at the excellent candidates that are out there and not considering this blessed man that God has given us here in our midst? And so that was the impetus for us to then take a second and take a step back and look and say, how about Matt? And so the rest of the process, as you can tell from the video as it testifies to it, unfolded in a way that we really feel strongly that God greenlit that process and led us through that conversation with Matt in a positive way.
Thanks, Scott. Grace, let me ask you, this is a large church, and it's hard for people to get to know one another, up close. And I think even on the search team, though everybody knew who Matt was, it was a process in getting to know him. Maybe tell us a little bit about some of the things along the way that really turned your heart toward Matt.
For me, it started with Matt's unrelenting focus on the Word of God. That as we were talking with him, we found that the Bible was the driver for his sermons, for his personal walk with the Lord, for how he leads his family, and for his vision for where he sees God taking Brook Hills. So that passion and dependence on the Word, then coupled with his love for the people. That as we're having these meetings and getting to know him, we're finding out that when he's preparing sermons, he's picturing faces and families, that he wants to lead us to care for each other and care for people outside the church in real, tangible ways and to grow in that. And so as we were seeing these things, it kept rising to the surface, and that's really what the Lord used in my heart to say, yes, this is the man that I'm calling to lead you.
Great, thank you. Rob, I know that just getting to know a candidate is not the only part of that process. There's even sometimes more tangible things you got to work through with resume and credentials and background and that type of thing, and there's certainly always challenges with that. Talk to us about some of the things that you had to work through as a member of the search team in coming to the place of being ready to present Matt to this congregation.
Sure. I guess the first thing I would say is, yes, we did, in fact, have some items that we needed to invest more time in order to work through. Certainly that shouldn't be surprising in a process this lengthy and this important that we needed to dig a bit deeper to make sure we had a piece at what we were about to do and recommend. So let me give you an example of one of those. But before I do, let me say this. From a biblical qualifications and a character perspective, Matt was never in question at all. That was a clear strength for Matt. We had the privilege of knowing him here, working alongside him, and serving many of us underneath his leadership. So clearly that was not a question. However, one of the items we did have to work through was, as we began the evaluation, it was obviously clear that Matt had not previously served in the role of senior pastor. So with that idea brings additional responsibility, as you can imagine. So when we landed there, what we invested more time into is the assessment of his leadership capabilities, and we did that carefully. We essentially figured out through the process that Matt's leadership is grounded very strongly in the Word of God. In fact, his leadership has been effective. His leadership has been very faithful in the area of ministry. And we also saw the same reflection in his family by testimony through many discussions, through many interviews, his answering of questions. It was very clear to us of what we were seeing there in the form of his leadership. So in conclusion, after we invested more time, what we discerned was, in fact, that the Lord had truly equipped and fully equipped Matt for the role and the responsibilities that we were seeking him for.
J.D., you're the one person up here on the panel tonight that was not on the search team. You are part of the pastoral staff team as well as the elder board, so this is a recommendation that came to you and a little bit later in the process. And you serve as pastor of church multiplication, obviously a vested interest in our church continuing to plant churches, send people out, see the gospel taken to unreached peoples, even here in the United States, I know is a special burden for you. But, as someone who received this as a pastoral staff member a little bit later in the process, not from the beginning, you've had time to process it. What are some of the things that excite you the most about Matt Mason as a candidate?
Many things, some of which we've already seen on the video. I would just be repeating some of those that we've even heard from here. But yes, I found out when the rest of the elders found out, and very excited about that. Some of the things that I think would be helpful for me to share at this point, Jim, that would be good for our brothers and sisters to hear, maybe are some of the things that are kind of behind the scenes. Matt is a brother who, he has our Brook Hills vision and mission and goal. It's a part of his heart. It's a part of his DNA of who he is. It's not something that he just knows, that he just has a head knowledge about, but it is something that he's passionate about. It's something that he owns. And the way that I believe the Lord has brought that about in his life is through Matt's journey with us while he's been serving in a pastoral capacity here. There are, I think, a lot of people out there that can intellectually agree with us on our vision, our mission, our goal, our ministry philosophy. But to be able to own it, to be able to have it as a part of their core of who they are, to have that a part of who they are as an individual, is very, very critical. The other thing that I think is something that's really exciting to me is that the notion of chemistry, team chemistry, there's a camaraderie that exists among our pastoral staff team and our staff. With Matt, there's a level of trust that is very high. There's a very high level of respect that is there. And again, those things don't come with just a title.
That's right.
They come about as a result of journeying in community with someone and being able to see them day in and day out. And so that chemistry that's there, I think, is very, very encouraging. And then one last thing that I think is important for us to think about at this point in this journey. Is that because I and others have been able to see and experience Matt in this capacity, working alongside of him in this shepherding capacity, we've come to recognize that Matt is a team player. He is not a lone ranger. He is an individual who I believe has a very firm grasp on both his strengths and also on his limitations as well. And where he has those limitations, he is an individual, because he's a team player, that he's willing to pull others around him, other leaders around him, to strengthen him, to bolster him in areas where he is needing support, where he is needing to lean upon others on his team. And so when we begin to see those things that are there, that understanding of our culture and context, that chemistry that exists, he's a team player, he's very humble, he's a servant leader, those are things that really excite me, in addition to the things that we've already been hearing.
And I think if you ask any of our pastoral staff team, they would concur with that, just things that make this team very, very excited about this possibility. Jim, I want to finish with you tonight. You have been such a source of wisdom and strength. You've shepherded so many of us. We're the beneficiaries of your leadership here at Brook Hills, elder body, as we said, small group. So it's been really cool to just see you as part of this process, the senior pastor search team. And one of the things that I know that I've heard, in elder council, as you guys reported to us, and at several different points, is just talking about how God brought you as a team to a place of joyful unity. And that's such a sweet expression. We know that was a journey. Talk to us a little bit about how God brought this team together along, a little bit about the spirit of the team as he moved you toward that place of joyful unity in this recommendation.
Okay, this has really been a joy for me to serve on this team. I don't know when I've ever served on a team that I've enjoyed as much and yet had as greater consequence as this does. We are 9 members made up of a wide variety in ages, a wide variety in experience and working backgrounds, and also in different life stages, and yet brought together by the enormity of the responsibility that we felt, and also the acknowledgement of our dependence on God. We had our first meeting in about mid-October, and really didn't begin to consider candidates until after the first of the year. So there was a 2 months plus period of time there where we had the opportunity to meet on a regular basis, to hear from the church, from the surveys, discuss, pray together. And I think it was during this time that we really, although we would have been, we would like to have been interviewing candidates, we were anxious to get going. But I think this served as a time for us to gel as a team and to really build credibility and respect and admiration for each other's ability to hear from God and their love for the church, and just knowing that we could count on what we wanted to, whatever they said was worth listening to, even if it disagreed with what we thought. And so this was a good time, and it served us well as we moved on into the interview process, and it continued. We moved through, most of the candidates got down to, one of the last candidates we considered was Matt, and for a couple of reasons. First of all, we didn't know for sure if he was even interested in the job, as was mentioned. And we didn't want to disrupt his service here or his ministry here as worship pastor. So, but when we did mention it, there was some interest there, and we met with he and Paula and had a lot of question and answers in a general nature, and felt that we were still interested. Both parties were interested, so we sent a questionnaire with 37 questions on it a few days before he was to leave on a mission trip, thinking that we'd get the questionnaire back after he finished the trip. But we actually got it back before and had that time to spend more time going over the questions and studying them and so forth. And then we had another meeting with he and Paula, and a follow-up meeting then with just Matt. And became just convinced, even though we were somewhat independent-minded, and really some said it was a miracle, that we really came to the point of unanimously sensing that Matt was the man that should be the next senior pastor at the church at Brook Hills. Wow.
Thank you so much. This group of people, as I said, represent two groups that have led out in this process, the senior pastor search team, as well as our elder body. I know there are other members of both of those groups that are here this morning. If you're on the senior pastor search team or one of our elders, would you just stand right now? And would you take a moment, congregation, just to thank these folks for leading us this morning? I'm going to ask Dennis Blythe to come, our executive pastor. He's going to tell us where we're going from here, what the next couple of weeks look like, and then also just lead us in a time of prayer for this decision.
Great. Thank you, Jim. I do want to take a moment and outline what lies ahead over the next couple of weeks. Before I do that, let me just share personally as a person who's had a chance to work alongside Matt very closely over the last 3 years, I am extremely encouraged. But I'm not only encouraged, I also have a real peace. I have a real peace about this possibility, and I believe with all my heart that Matt is a brother who would bring to the table so much of what Brook Hills needs right now. And so thankful to be praying about this along with you. So what happens over the next couple of weeks? Let me let you know. First of all, as you leave today, you will have an opportunity to receive some additional information. It'll be a printed piece, looks a lot like your worship guide, but in that you would have an overview of Matt and his ministry and sense of call to potentially pastor here at Brook Hills. But along with that, you will see several frequently asked questions that our search team has prepared ahead of time, and I know that both of those things will be very helpful to you. So again, as you exit today, you'll have a chance to pick that up. Secondly, Matt will be preaching next Sunday, the 21st, and Sunday, the 28th, in all three of our worship gatherings, each of those Sundays, and he will be preaching what I would consider to be special messages related to this whole process of praying about and considering him as a potential senior pastor. And so you're not going to want to miss those. If you do happen to be out of town or not able to be here, know that those sermons will be available online, as is the case each week with messages that are preached. The third thing I would mention is that we have set up three different Q&A, question-answer opportunities over the next 2 weeks. And if you'd like to come and interact with Matt or someone from our search team or a member of our elder council by way of asking questions, getting further information, know that there will be those opportunities. One of those will be this coming Wednesday. A second one will be next Sunday afternoon. And then the third one will be, excuse me, into the next week, which is the 25th of June. That's a Thursday evening. And all of those dates, times, locations, all of that is in your worship guide, as well as the information that you'll receive on the way out today. There's also an avenue for you to submit questions via an email. And so know that you can send questions or comments to pastorsearch@brookhills.org. So if you're not able to make one of those Q&A sessions, there is another opportunity. Just practically speaking, or maybe more informally, know that all of our elders and our search team are available to you. If you know one of our elders personally or want to connect and reach out to the elder who shepherds your small group, or maybe reach out to one of the search team members, know that they're available and would love to answer any questions that you might have. And then 2 weeks from today, so on Sunday, June the 28th, at the end of each one of those worship gatherings, so Matt will be preaching that day, but at the end of the gatherings, we'll be taking a vote of affirmation. That will be a written ballot vote by members of the church at Brook Hills that are present that day. And so that'll take place on June the 28th at the end of those gatherings. Even with all of that, as we said last week, the most important thing we can be doing over these next couple of weeks is praying, and so want to really encourage you in that. This is such a crucial, important matter in the life of our church. Let's commit to seek the Lord and ask for His leadership. And in fact, before we leave today and wrap things up, we want to take a few moments. We've heard so much great information and helpful information. I hope you're encouraged as I have been. But let's take a moment and bow our heads and seek the Lord in prayer and ask for Him to give us clear direction.